you've heard about captive audiences. Today we have a captive interview subject. Ali Bastad sitting next to me here in the car driving from Algona to Duluth.
Duluth. It's Duluth. Don't say Duluth on stage.
Sorry. Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 228. We're catching up. Allie, as many of you know, is our office manager, full-time. She's in our office 24/7. Unless she's on the road with us, being our backstage wardrobe props person and occasionally our stage manager. Allie, my question to you is, how do you do two jobs, or sometimes three?
Two, three, you know, I'm not even sure of my title.
Are you not the office manager?
On contract, I'm the company manager.
Company manager, that's very, which is better?
I have no idea. Company manager sounds kind of scary. Office manager means paperwork. I can do paperwork.
Okay, well, because you literally, that's the one thing I do know, you literally manage the office.
I do, well, I'm the only one in it, so I guess I self-manage the office?
Yes, and you're the only one who can fit in it.
We could do bunk desks. I had a plan once. Our office is in an old turkey hatchery, and we're actually in the break room, and our storage is in one of the old incubation rooms. So the heat is either on or off, and it's 140 degrees. But we're in the break room, and it's tiny. It's the size of most people's bathrooms. So there's room for my desk and a chair or two and some filing cabinets, and that's about it.
Well, you say that. It may be small, but at least it's ugly.
It's very ugly. Although I did paint the walls a bright blue because my window looks out at a brick wall, so I never see the sky.
Wow, you are really selling me on the glamour of professional show business.
It's fantastic stuff.
Well, how do you? So I get how the job works when you're actually in the office 40 hours a week. But how do you manage that now when you're on the road with us in vans and cars and theaters?
I check my email constantly. You know, as soon as the plane touches down, my phone is on and I'm seeing what happened in the 5.5 hours I was in the air. When we have a show day, you know, usually load in starts 9 or 10 in the morning. So I'm up at 7:30 to check what's happened overnight in whatever time zone we're working with. Getting ready for New Zealand right now, and they're 22 hours ahead of us. Yeah. So they start their work day 2 hours after we do, but they're the next day. They're tomorrow.
2 hours after or 2 hours before us? They're like 3 hours before us, but they're a day ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very confusing, but Tom is great at answering his emails because he's already up.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm checking email constantly. If I can get a signal on my phone, I'm doing that. On the iPad, I'm doing that. Easier to type on the iPad.
Yes.
And I will take a break from doing a load-in. You know, while someone else is steaming the costumes, I'll take a break and call the next venue to see, make sure we're having dinner and that they know we're coming and we have to park two cars.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah. What? Aside from there not being enough hours in the day, what's the most frustrating part of all of this?
Most frustrating part, I think, is getting people to understand I won't answer the phone at the office. You know, when they call 5 times in 1 hour wondering why I don't pick up, and the outgoing message says, I'm on the road, email me, I'm going to answer it faster.
Yeah.
So getting people to, you know, listen to my outgoing message, I wish they would do that.
Well, I think there is an educational... I mean, I get that people go, whoa, why is somebody not in the office 24/7? Well, first of all, A, we're a reduced company, and two, we're a touring company. But three, and most importantly, we're an electronic company. I mean, I find the most frustrating thing is having to find a fax machine for people who can't figure out scans and emails and that kind of thing, because they're not always convenient to find, and it's just frustrating because almost everything else you can do on your phone, your iPad, your computer.
It even, you know, when we have a receipt that needs reimbursement on the road, we've been taking pictures of it with our phones, emailing it to the bookkeeper.
Yeah.
And we can get reimbursement that way. But you're right, trying to find a fax, which is so 1988, you know.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I get that people want instant access, instant. And I think if we gave out your cell phone number and people started texting you, then that would be really a nightmare, because email is almost bad enough, or good enough.
Email's almost bad enough, and I mean the company members have my cell phone number.
Yeah.
But you know, when we had that awful trip, that awful, awful week in January, when you guys were stuck trying to get to the Athens, Georgia show that didn't happen.
Yeah.
My day started at 4:30 one morning, trying to get, because I was in California, they were on the East Coast. Jenny was up in Wisconsin,
yeah,
trying to get to Atlanta, and her flights were canceled. So sometimes my days start really early.
Well, and in, I guess in that case, it would have been better for you had you been with us, because you could have done all that stuff with us on our time zone.
On your time zone, and you know, first thing in the morning, 3 hours sure makes a difference. Between 4:30 and 7:30.
Yeah. Well, we were very grateful to have you at the other end of the cell phone, though, to be working on that while we were in a, what were we? We were in a shuttle. We were in shuttles from the hotel to the airport, not knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah, shuttles, planes, trains, yeah.
Now, okay, so you've made this all sound very glamorous, which is fantastic. Now, we were approached, like, last night by an old fan, a fan of long standing. She's not that old. But she was asking the question, how does one get involved with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, particularly if not being male, you don't quite have the requisite parts to perform the various shows, regardless of your skill set. I sicked her, and I think I'll sick all people onto you, Allie, because we're always looking for sort of backstage help. If people are really serious about going out on tour, is that right? We're always sort of looking for these people?
We're always looking for somebody backstage, yeah.
I mean, that would save you having to come out on the road. Unless you could choose the fun gigs to come out on the road on, like New Zealand, excuse me.
New Zealand and, you know, Fairbanks, that was a nice one. Thanks to Elaine, who had to work that weekend.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely how to get involved. Hang on, I need to think.
Send an email. I mean, basically, if you're serious about wanting to go on the road as a touring theater production person, send a resume to info@reducedshakespeare.com. We are always looking for new people because there's a lot of turnover rate. I mean, being a touring backstage person is not really a career choice, unfortunately.
It's not a career choice, and it's tiring. It's not something you're going to be able to do for decades.
Right. It is. Your days, as Jackson Brown famously and patronizingly sang, you're the first to go and the last to leave. Something about the minimum wage. I just wanted to smack Jackson Brown for singing that. And maybe for hitting women too, but that's a tangent. Several weeks ago, we interviewed Marilyn Bielby and Ali Smith, the creators, stars, etc. of The Best Friend, the web series. And we just found out that they got some fantastic news. And here to tell you all about it is our mutual friend Dominic Conti, who was involved. Dom, tell us what they won.
Well, congratulations to The Best Friend for kind of sweeping and clearing the LA Webfest. They were just involved in that. And that all went down just a few days ago, and looks like they won Best Comedy, Best Actress.
Yeah, Best Comedy Series, right?
Uh-huh, yeah, Best Actress, an award for writing, Best Supporting Actress.
Now, that's an interesting distinction, that the Best Actress was Marilyn,
mm-hmm,
and Ali was Best Supporting, but it definitely seems like a two-hander. It's an even two-hander,
It's pretty much a two-hander, so it's kind of like, really what they meant was Best Actress and Best Actress again.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, Ali Smith might have had the largest supporting role ever.
Yeah.
But anyway, she won.
Yeah.
So, and a couple days ago, they just kept going up to the platform there and then collecting award after award.
That's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, Best Comedy Series. This is all at the LAWebFest.com, in fact. You can look it up. Best Direction?
That's right. Also Best Director. I didn't mean to leave that out, but
yes.
Yeah.
And Best Composers, I think? I mean, the music got best?
Which is, again, Marilyn and her brother Tony BLB, and
wow,
there were other people involved there as well.
Well, I just think it's so great because, as I said before on the Best Friend podcast, there are so many web series out there, and you've got to have a lot of determination to get to put one together and get it up on the web and just support it and pimp it and, you know, make people know about it. And it also helps if it's really well done. Because I've seen a lot of web series that just aren't. The acting's
not
good.
They're not so hot. They're shot in that person's apartment, and it looks like it.
Yeah.
And
the production values of The Best Friend are just fantastic, and the acting is good, and the writing is good. It's genuinely funny and witty and kind of poignant in spots.
As I've said to you before, it's an occasion where somebody created their own work, and then they're actually getting all the major kudos that they should. Sort of finally. They've won some awards before, as I think they mentioned, but now they're really sort of like, I felt like this always should have been happening. I'm so glad that it has come to fruition now.
Good for them.
Hi there, my name's Graham Gardner. I'm the president of the British Society of Dowsers and presenter of their podcast, Adventures in Dowsing. But when I'm not twiddling my rod, I work as a lighting designer in theatre, and that's why you're listening to my favourite show, the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Dominic caught us up on all the awards the Best Friend web series won. You can listen to creators and stars Ali Smith and Marilyn Bielby chat with me back on episode 222. But now I want to catch you up on the responses I got to episode 219, Long Distance Dedication. As you'll recall, if you've listened to podcast 219, it opened with a long distance dedication from one listener to another. It was very romantic, but it sparked a conversation, really a monologue, about the podcast and how you listen to it. And I asked for responses, and we got the largest response we've ever received to any of our podcast requests. Allison Thurman emailed us to say, "Hello, I listen to the podcasts as they come out and have subscribed to them on iTunes on my home computer. If I do get behind, I will load them onto my iPod Touch and listen to them on my commute to and from work. Thanks for the wonderful laughs." Well, thank you, Allison. You were the very first person to respond, so I know you listen to the podcasts in a very timely manner. Brian Oldham sent me an email. It says, "Greetings, great reducers. Every Monday night, I download the show via iTunes, and my wife and I listen to it on the iMac in our living room. We don't own a TV or stereo, so the Mac functions as both. This is a very important Monday night ritual for me. When Monday is doing its worst, I remind myself that there will be an RSC show to listen to when I get home. You're my reward, a sort of audio dessert after getting through a Monday. Sláinte, Brian." Well, yeah. Thank you, Brian. And seriously, thank you. Now, you are the guy I think about every week as I go, crap, I got to get this posted before dinner time Monday. So Brian won't be upset. Rebecca Weintraub emailed to say, "To answer your question, I listen to the podcast through iTunes. Why do something yourself when it can be automatically done by others, right?" Absolutely. Amen to that, sister. "Hi, Austin and extended RSC family. You asked for feedback, so here it is." This is from a longtime RSC fan, Rabid Psycho, a.k.a. Sarah Wilkinson. Sarah says, "I experienced a greater myriad of emotions during this episode than my usual range of amusement and general pleasantness. I laughed so hard I shook. A sleeping roommate is not conducive to loud outbursts. Felt chastened and filled with hope by the bravery of Karen going through chemotherapy for her breast cancer, and silently cheered for your hopeful return to New Zealand. By far my most emotional St. Valentine's Day yet. On the topic of how I listen, I assure you it is regularly, usually on the day the podcast is uploaded or shortly after, and I stream from the website as I am one of those few Stone Age individuals without iTunes." Wow. "As a fellow long-distance dedicator who spent far too much time and money at the post office last week making sure everyone at home knew just how much I love and miss them, I admire your ability to tear yourself away from the warm bosom of family, no innuendo intended, in the name of bringing laughter to those who want and need it. Good luck with the various foreign excursions and the rest of the shows here in the U.S., wish I could be there for them." Well, Sarah, you've been there for so many of them, it would be just greedy of us to wish that you could join us for more. Hillary Giffen wrote to say, I think the RSE podcast was the second podcast I ever listened to, and I started listening around podcast 6 or 7. My favorite episode was the one with Jasper Ford, of whom I've been a fan since Thursday Next first appeared. As for my podcast listening habits, I am often a week behind because I like to have something to look forward to. I get a little sad when I look at my iPod and there's no RSE podcast waiting for me. Alas, I've only seen the RSE in person once, but I hope to change that when you're at Fermilab. Well, I hope you did come down to Fermilab, Hillary, and I hope you said hi if you did. Gregory Nicastro from Dallas says, in response to Austin's request for how people are listening to the podcast, I generally listen each week at some time during my time at work. Sometimes I may fall a week behind, but I'm usually current each week and waiting to hear when you'll be back in the Dallas area so my wife can have another opportunity to try and derail the show. Yes, she did a fantastic job of trying to derail the show. You are one lucky man. Diane Wilshire says, I usually listen in my car, but also went on tedious behavior watches at the Smithsonian National Zoo. So thank you for keeping me sane at 4 a.m. while waiting for a sleeping giant panda to pee. Well, that, listen, if we could be of any help in with that activity, we are honored and proud. Robin emailed to say, in response to Austin's recent inquiry, I listen to your podcast on the computer at work with headphones on since I work in a library, but the irrepressible giggles still get me funny looks. I have the feed in my RSS reader and download the new episodes every week or two, so I never get too far behind. I even keep the old episodes and re-listen from time to time. It makes my long days of website building and media editing so much more enjoyable. Looking forward to seeing you in Manchester next month. Your dedicated but stealthy fan, Robin in Boston. Robin, it was great to see you in Manchester last month. We did see you, right? You did show up, right? And we talked? Please tell me you did. Catherine Ott says, hi, guys and gals. I just responding to your roll call request. I download your podcast. Actually, it happens automatically from iTunes, and it goes on my iPod Touch within a week or two. I listen to work at an elementary school library while I shelve books. Really enjoy the podcast and hope to see you in person someday. A lot of librarians listening to the podcast. This is from Julie McClelland, who, as it happens, is Reed Martin's sister. Hi, Austin. I'm catching up on the podcast while I do some data entry work and just listen to the one where you asked how we listen to the podcasts. I listen online and usually listen to several at a time while I do my work, so I'm usually behind and am hearing the tour dates after they have happened. Yes, I think that happens with a few people. Love the interviews you choose, plus the podcasts where the cast interacts with each other. You have done such a great job picking up this medium of the podcast from ground zero and taking it to a high level. Kudos! Greg in Seattle says, about every 6 weeks, I download new material onto my MP3 player, which I call my idiot, and that includes the most recent batch of RSE podcasts, so I'm usually hearing tour date info a little on the late side, which is no big deal unless I were to miss news of you coming to Seattle, which for some darn reason ain't happening. Something is severely wrong with the theaters around here. They keep battling bankruptcy. Don't they realize a run of RSE shows would help them avoid that? Well, that's a very good point, Greg. It's an excellent point. If you can tell the theaters around there, we performed at the Seattle Rep. That theater hasn't closed. We performed at ACT, a contemporary theater, and there was threat of that closing, but it didn't close. You make an excellent point, Greg. Spread that point around. Tony Whitmore says, I listen to the podcast on my iPad, usually between 1 and 3 weeks after it's released. My podcatcher downloads the show within 24 hours of release, but I have so many podcasts I listen to that I can't always fit them in right away. Ah, I feel your pain. Angie Sutton emailed to say, I discovered that you had a podcast a couple of months ago and have been slowly working my way through the backlog of old episodes. Enjoying the podcast tremendously. They make my bus ride to and from a not-so-good job at least tolerable. Now, this is a response we got from Graham Gardner, whose blurb you just heard. Graham writes, greetings from Glasgow, Scotland. I download the podcast from iTunes and listen to it on car journeys or when I'm traveling on a train or plane. I just caught up with 219 and 220 in the car yesterday. It's great having you along for company on a journey, and you guys feel like old friends to me now. I've been listening since around episode 90 or thereabouts. I saw the Reduced Bible Show in Glasgow when you were over last year, and I can't wait to see another show. So I hope you're back in the UK in the not-too-distant future. Keep up the good work. Well, Graham, thank you for that, and thank you for that fantastic blurb that you sent. Although your accent, your Scottish accent, is really not as over the top as we prefer it. So do please work on that. And Peter Michael, who also calls himself Horse and Knave, sent us this email. Thanks very much. Dear Austin, thanks very much for the excellent RSC podcast. I wanted to respond to the episode entitled Long Distance Dedication. I found your comments about podcasts and social networks to be wonderfully prescient because I was thinking about the same issues. I had been meaning to write you for a while, and that podcast finally hoisted me off my own procrastinating petard, whatever that means. I don't know what it means either, but it sounds painful. Anyway, he goes on, I definitely feel connected to the RSC and do not feel the same way about any other podcast or online group. I have listened to all the RSC podcasts, watched the DVDs several times over, heard the radio plays, and seen live performances. I'm a fan on Facebook, and I'm an infrequent contributor to the online forum. I sometimes slumber with the RSC, or Douglas Adams, whispering through an earbud so your familiar voices help me relax with bedtime stories. Peter, good night. Go to sleep. Turn me off. Furthermore, our connection doesn't stop there. Last year at the Kennedy Center during the Hollywood show, my girlfriend and I were called on stage to play the parts of Fred and Ginger. All right, well done. As a loyal listener and fan, I can attest that the podcasts connect us in a type of community. In fact, the podcasts pull everything else together for me. I would much rather hear your actual voices than read some characters off a computer screen. That's an excellent point. I'll be seeing you at the July 16th matinee at the Kennedy Center. Keep up the excellent work, and may the Bard be with you. Peter, thank you very much for that email. Obviously, I agree. How could I not? And seriously, turn this off. Go to bed. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your podcast listening rituals via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, podcast streamer while he's at work Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Ben May. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Graham Gardner and to all our listeners who send us feedback via email and post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 228/684 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. But finally, here's this message from Nikki. Hey, Austin and everyone else at the RSC, I have just finished listening to the Valentine's Day podcast, and I honestly couldn't believe it. I'm so thankful you sent that shout out to Nathaniel, and it's just so amazing that we were actually together when we were listening to it. He and I are, in fact, a long-distance relationship, which makes it all the more awesome. Just want to thank you guys for making our time together even more special, as he didn't even know about my email. You all are really are amazing, and I'm hoping that maybe one day you might come back to the UK. You would definitely see us at one of those shows. Thanks again. Lots of hugs, Nixie. Nixie, Nathaniel, and all of you, we hope to be coming back to the United Kingdom very, very soon and are working to make that happen just as soon as we can. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.